Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Monday night installment here at Your Remedy Is in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're discussing various offensive litigating strategies. And this is with our speaker, Mr. David Merlin. My name is Martin Michaels. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedy Is in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer.
Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedy Is in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do where they similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless. It's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedy Is in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com. If we look in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure. Better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR, the rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes all the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course. So it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known purely for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced. The jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of Your Remedy Is in the Law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of yourremedyisinthelaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups at Your Remedy Is in the Law. And Your Remedy Is in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that altogether make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at yourremedyisinthelaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you'll get to a point where it will ask you, what are your outcomes? What are you interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights, anything that you can think of. That if it affects your personal rights in one way or another, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together. Much of how you think of a network. Though nothing like a social network. It's very custom. It's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal opinions, their personal opinions, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be a tremendous amount of help to you. And maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do where I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. And then for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the further you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to a point where you've educated to yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people to start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're on the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, maybe you're just new to your remedies in the law and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number and the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button. Fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night, the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at your remedies in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at your remedies in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that, honestly, most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. And we make those introductions. Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best, and believe you me, we aim for the best. The unavoidable things do sometimes happen, and when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. Again, we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have had to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not if your remedy is in the law, anyway. Of course, when you call the remedy and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at Your Remedy is in the Law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
All right, well, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the call over at this time to our speaker for this evening, Mr. David Merle.
No. That's Michael Edward, speaker tonight. Tonight we're going to start with a 30,000-foot view of what has gone on with our country from its beginnings through today, and how a great deception has befallen all of us. There are a handful who have awoken to the differences in what the law says versus what we're told the law says. And for those few, this is going to be perhaps a trip down memory lane. But for those of you that have not become aware of this, and we have actually some new people on the call tonight, then you're going to learn tonight how something so radically different has occurred from what is actually truth in the nature of your citizenship as to what you believe your citizenship to be. So this conversation is a compilation of about 15 years worth of hard study and work from an attorney who is now deceased. When he was on our programs, we referred to him as Tex. I'll share with you his name a little bit later. Well, I can do it right now. Just have to pull up this little notepad here. Albert Lynn Barcroft. I have to look it up because I always called him Tex. So I have to juggle that. Anyways, what he did, he had studies, he had works, failures, successes that he personally experienced in his own fight to regain the birthright left to him by his forefathers. And those forefathers gave their property, their standing in the community, and even their lives in order to leave to you and me those freedoms which have never before existed in the history of mankind for the common man on this earth. Most of them suffered hardships that we today could not even imagine. And they did it all so that their children, their posterity, could have freedom forevermore. The gift they left us is the most wonderful and valuable gift ever given by man to man. And I have no doubt that it was inspired and coordinated by the Almighty One Himself. This conversation is dedicated to those brave men who gave all they had on this earth in order to leave this gift of freedom to their descendants. Although most of their descendants no longer even realize the great gift left to them, the sacrifices made by those heroes will be forever enshrined in Freedom's Hall of Fame as the framers of this most wonderful system of government that has ever been devised on this earth. To those men, go all the praise and the credit for whatever freedom has existed and still exists today. It's my full intention to honor those men in my actions and in these writings. Among other things, these conversations we just had a glitch here, pardon me. Among other things, this conversation will show you the secrets used by many Americans today to avoid the traps of the federal government, which have placed tens of millions, over hundreds of millions of state citizens, American nationals, into a state of servitude to the United States and all of its sister companies and co-parties. This conversation will show you in detail how to know if you're eligible to be one of the sovereignty, or if you can be an American national with no income taxes and few, if any, property taxes. And truth is, many of you, most all of you, are eligible. It will show you how to establish a bank account right in your hometown that the IRS cannot even look at, never mind seize. It will show you how to stop being told and punished if you don't listen and abide by their code and regulations, whether or not to wear a seatbelt or stop at a stop sign in the middle of nowhere when no one else is around. Have you ever driven through Texas? You got miles and miles of a two-lane road, and you know there comes up another intersection. There's no traffic light or anything, just stop signs, and you can see from both sides, as far as you can see the left and as far as you can see the right, there are no cars coming, but will you stop at that stop sign nonetheless? Of course you will. And it will show you how the IRS will simply go away and then make them do it. If you qualify, this conversation will change your life so dramatically you won't even recognize yourself, either physically or spiritually, just within 6 months after you have employed the secrets that we will be discussing. The author has not used a Social Security number or paid any taxes since 1987. That's when he first learned the truth about our country and our rights as an American national. He has recently learned that he has never even had a Social Security number. He has not paid traffic tickets in almost 30 years, and he's had many issues, and he's not even seen the inside of a jail. At first, he fully expected to be jailed and disgraced, but was so fed up with the system that he frankly didn't care. He decided if there could be these horrible things done to him, which they had done, they might as well pay for his room and board for a while they're doing it, i.e. the Gray Bar Hotel. And to his great surprise, not only did he not go to jail, he wasn't even contacted by mail for over 2 years after filing the IRS returns. Of course, we know that they usually wait 2 or 3 years before they reach out to you so they can gather some penalties and fines. During that time, he gathered an immense amount of information about the system, how it works, and he learned how to challenge any claims which the IRS might make against him and how to defend against any criminal accusations aimed at him. And the result was that when they finally did come after him, he was ready and won time and time and time again. Remember, he was now a lawyer that had stepped away from the bar, but he used his knowledge. That is something that we attempt every time we talk to you on these calls to imbibe in you this knowledge. And, of course, the focus on that is Tuesday night calls, tomorrow night call with Brother John. Just on a side note, if you don't know, Brother John attended UCLA Berkeley Law. He also attended another law school, graduated, passed the bar, took the bar exam in California, passed. In fact, he held the second highest score for 3 years running. And he had only prepared for the bar for a few weeks or maybe a month or whatever. Very little time. Most attorneys prepare 6 months or a year before they take the bar exam after graduation. And he passed it, did a wonderful job. Then, of course, they approached him and asked him to become a member of the California Bar Association so he could, practice law. He declined. and has been, you know, making his way, his living ever since the 1980s, assisting people through vehicles such as a trust or an LLC, or as sometimes actually appearing in court as your Sixth Amendment counsel. So these are the things that we look forward to on the Tuesday night call, so that you can come up to speed and hopefully become a part of the fight, if you would. So he learned to challenge any claims that the IRS had made against him. He learned how to defend against any criminal accusations against him. And the result was that when they finally did come after him, he, like I said, won time after time after time. For several years, which was from the 1990s and into the early 2000s, the IRS virtually abandoned the use of criminal prosecutions in its attempt to force tax compliance. In the last few years, they have redoubled their frontal attack by filing of criminal charges against any who fight them, unless the party resisting in his defense is based upon solid ground. The courts absolutely favor the IRS in a manner which could never be referred to as justice, and the jury pools are tainted from the onset. The first, the few cases where a true American does prevail, the courts have found a very effective way to keeping the results from the public by simply using a ploy called a gag order. And they do this every time successfully. We've even seen where some court cases have actually been scrubbed from the Internet, from PACER, which is the system where anyone can look at federal court cases and study them. A gag order forbids any information about a case from being released for public consumption and forbids any of the parties or the attorneys to even talk about it. It was intended for use only during a trial to maintain jury purity, but like so many of the things which started with good intentions, this government found a way to prostitute the integrity of such as an order and use it to keep silent forever anyone or anything which might be detrimental to the assumed power of the government if it ever became public knowledge. And that is precisely why you probably currently believe that the government wins every tax case. They don't. And they also believe that anyone who is not paying the income tax will certainly wind up in prison. They don't. In actions such as the unethical, if not illegal, use of the gag order rule by federal courts, real hope can be found by those people who are fighting the fight for truth and justice in the American way. Do I sound like Superman getting ready to launch here? No. It's very heartening to know that we have been able to push this de facto government into a position where it is forced to twist the law in order to maintain its position. I think the current trials that we're watching now with Donald Trump, President Trump, and, you know, just the insane outcomes of these litigations right now are enough to solidify that position. The action alone tells us that the persons responsible for keeping this government in place know that they cannot be truthful, they cannot be forthcoming with the American people, and if they do so, to hope to maintain their power, they just can't do it. It also points out that these leeches of society will do anything, including murder, to keep their power over the people. They will lie, cheat, steal, and like I said, even murder people to maintain their image of their power. Anytime that they're successful in terrorizing or intimidating an American, it will be plastered over the front page of every newspaper in the country, and it'll be the subject of every talking head on as a lead story for TV. And when an American wins a battle, it's sealed off from the public like a contagious disease. Recently, at a New Year's Eve party, a few friends started asking questions about my beliefs on paying taxes and being free and being an American. After a couple of hours of discussions, one of my friends looked at me and said, "You know, Al, I really resent you. I go out here and work hard every day, and I pay my fair share out of my earnings. You make more money than I do, and you don't pay a dime. You don't pay anything, much less your fair share." Well, this really set me back for a second. Never even thought about any of my friends resenting the fact that I was standing up to this tyrannical trust manifesting itself as some de facto government. After a few seconds of actually feeling shame, I started getting angry. How dare anyone question my sacrifices? I looked this friend directly in the eye, and with all the others at this party in dead silence, and I said, Steve, I wish you hadn't said that to me. I'll let you off the hook for a long time, but now you've made this personal between us. My forefathers, just like your forefathers, gave a lot to provide freedom for themselves and their descendants. My great-great-great-great eight-times-removed grandfather, Samuel Huntington, he signed the Declaration of Independence. Look it up. He knew when he did this that he would probably suffer great hardships as a result, and he still followed his beliefs without concern for his own instant security, favoring instead long-term freedom not only for himself but for his progeny. All the other signers of the Declaration of Independence knew the extreme danger they placed themselves in with their signature and support, but all signed it anyway, and almost everyone was either killed or had their property seized and died broke as a result of that. To those men, the most important thing a man could do was to deliver freedom to himself and his offspring as a birthright. They even warned us that eternal vigilance was the only way that we could maintain this wonderful gift. And what have we done with this gift? Well, we've apathetically given it away without so much as a whimper in the night, without a fight, and basically do the same people that our forefathers threw out of control. Trying to fight to regain little parts of that once all-encompassing freedom is really very difficult today because of people like you, Steve, who fall down and pay homage without question to this monster that would control everything. And why do you do that, Steve? Because you're getting farm subsidies and other handouts from the system, which would not be available if you didn't follow their every instruction without a question? So tell me, Steve, when are you going to start doing your fair share toward maintaining this great country that your forefathers left you? I hope it's soon, because frankly, the load is getting pretty heavy for me to carry without any little help. And needless to say, our conversation ended abruptly, and we haven't talked since then. I point out this encounter to make the point. Even though I don't pay income taxes or several other taxes, I don't have a free ride either. If you decide to follow the information that you're going to learn from these conversations over the next several weeks, months, you'll find that many of your friends will become very jealous of you. It will be particularly noticeable for those who love you to do so exactly what you're doing, but they just don't have the guts. They can read and understand that they are really not required to do the distasteful things that they do as duties under the government, but deep down in their hearts, they just know that they'll go to jail if they don't follow the instructions laid out for them. The really sad thing is that they are already in a prison of the worst kind, self-imposed prison. They can never escape it because this government has stolen their minds and their free will and made cowards out of them. And it would take the courage of their forefathers to seize that control back. I'm sorry to report that few still have that courage. But for those who do stand up and say, I want what is mine, and I want to be free, the rewards are so great, you cannot start to make you understand them. But you will pay your fair share. Trust me, you will pay it, having to explain 1,000 times over why American citizens, American nationals, are different from citizens of the United States, and how our forefathers never intended that some federal monster would again take over and rule our lives. You will pay for it, and you will have to fight for those little things that the slaves, that is the citizens of the United States, are given freely. But you will reap those rewards when you lay down at night, knowing you are a free man, and that no king or government can lay claim to your body, your soul, or your property, because you are one of the sovereignty, exactly as the Almighty One and your forefathers intended that you should be. And when you wake up and look at yourself in the mirror, you can be proud of the reflection of a free man. And then only then will you know why your forefathers were willing to give everything so that you and your children could enjoy this thing called freedom. This conversation we're about to have will be a first step in regaining your individual freedom. It is intended to give you a true, factual, step-by-step account of where you are and how you got here. And more importantly, it will give you the understanding needed to repair the damage that has been taken to you and your lifetime to suffer through it. And reading this book, which is available at AmericanByBirth.com, www.AmericanByBirth.com, you'll see the first PDF offered is the Once We Were Colonists, Subject to a King, a Primer in Jurisdiction. You read that first. In fact, you read it half a dozen times first, and then go on to read what I'm sharing with you now, The Greatest Story Never Told. It's all there. You can read along with me as we do these calls if you like. It's good because you'll hear it and you'll be reading it at the same time. And you'll catch my mistakes, something we can laugh about later. You'll also discover the secrets on how to use all of these facts and the precious few who have heretofore enjoyed the benefits of freedom. Most important, the principles and ideas contained in this article are true, factual, and usable. If employed properly, they're completely lawful, and you can use them with total confidence. You're challenged, every one of you, to disprove anything that is said and given to you within the basis of this conversation. Its contentions, its facts, or its conclusions. This book is not intended as legal advice, and its contents are offered only as a learning tool. You must each decide your own fate and position in this world based upon the facts which you accumulate. If you wish or and hope that this book gives you your aid in that process, it will. We will start next week with citizenship. That's what we'll talk about. Or if John is not able to be on the call tomorrow night, we'll start with citizenship. That's chapter one in this book. So I guess the next thing that we do then is pause for a second, invite anyone to ask a question, press star 2 on your keypad to raise your hand, ask a question. And while you're thinking about pressing star 2 on your keypad, I'm going to check Freedom's Radio to see if we have any questions already there. To ask a question there, you simply look to the center right of your monitor, and you'll find a place there where you can put your name and other contact information. Then in the inside of that box, press submit, and we're good to go. That's all it takes. Let's see where we are here. See all the questions. There we go. All right. So we start with Charlie. Thank you so much, Charlie. What's up?
Yeah, just I didn't give you much time, but as long as I'm here and able to ask a question, sent you an email, requested a couple things Saturday. Would it help you if I resend them or not?
No, I'll pull them up, Charlie. I was really slammed. Been slammed.
Don't worry.
You wanted an archive, right?
There was an archive, and also there's another one to ask Bernie a question that he wasn't able to. Somehow he dropped off the call Saturday, I guess, when I asked the question.
Right.
He said, send me the question. I will forward it.
Okay. So I did forward that to him. I'm waiting for his reply. But I did not do the recording yet, so I'll take care of that. I'll go back and find you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, sir. Anyone else, press star 2 in your keypad. Otherwise, we're going to have tonight a very short call. Won't be fun. And we come up with Ron in Massachusetts. Go ahead, guy. Axel. Unmute your phone, Axel.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's
hey, guys.
Right.
Hey,
I'm guilty of half the time myself. Huh? I'm guilty half the time myself of that.
And then, hey, this is probably kind of a stupid question, but when I do this process, is it necessary to have the the truss with Bernie?
No, this has everything that we do all works to the center. However, everything that we do is also independent. So you doing this first, correcting your political citizenship status from being a United States citizen to would you call yourself a Massachusettsian? A Massachusettsian? What are you calling yourself?
I'll leave that up to you. I'll leave that up to
yeah,
you.
That's right. Right. All right. Anyways, an American national. You go from having civil rights to constitutional rights. And if you're ever pinched in the law by either a traffic ticket or the IRS, or it doesn't matter what it is, unless you have committed a crime, that's what they call malum in se. Malum in se crimes are the biblical crimes. Unless you've committed them, they can't touch you. And even if you were to commit them, they still have to operate against you through American common law. And they will not do that. So you have all of these defenses that you can throw up and throw at them that will keep them so busy until finally you have sued them for under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. We'll talk about that later on again. We just got off that this couple weeks ago. The Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act protects you, and the Title 42, which is civil, 1983, 1985, 1986, you can charge these public pretenders with that, or you can criminally charge them with Title 18, Section 242. John is producing those right now for three of his students, so they're being applied. However, the first thing is you have to correct your political citizenship status. And that's what this is about, teaching you about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I ask is because, like, Bernie's, man, I have such trouble with that, comprehending that. So, if I correct my status, would the trust be necessary to open, like, a bank account?
No, the trust is still necessary, absolutely, because all right, what Bernie does is really associated with property, whether it's land or car, money in the bank, money in a shoebox that belongs to another country in the bottom of your closet, any property that you have, these trusts and the corporation soul that you operate these through to manage these trusts for the benefit of your religious society, that's totally different from what we're talking about here as far as your political citizenship status. So they're totally different, totally separate, yet they work together synergistically, producing even a greater result, a safer result. Because if you yourself are an American national and you're the manager of the corporation soul, and the corporation soul is the trustee to these trusts, there's nothing that they can come after you. There's no way that they can legally. They still may come after you, but you have all of the tools in your toolbox with which to fight them with. They have nothing.
Wow. It's airtight. It's a no-brainer.
It is a brainer.
No brainer.
But, however, we have the people that have the brains that will help you navigate this.
Right.
The students don't really know or understand what they're doing to begin with. Right. However, the longer the litigation is drawn out by the opposing party, by the people that are attacking these students, the more the students have the opportunity to learn. We have one fellow out in Arizona. He's setting himself up to be an information provider. We have a woman on the call tonight that is positioned to become an information provider because they are serious about learning what to do and how it works.
Well, that was my question. I mean, I know they go together, but I was wondering if one could go without the other. But it Sounds like
I would never go one without the other. You may decide to do that, but I would never do that for myself.
Right. Well, I listen to somebody who knows more than me, so I got you. All right, I appreciate your help. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Axel. It's my pleasure. Anyone else, press star 2 on your keypad. While you're thinking about that, I'm going to go over to Freedom's Radio again to see if anybody has asked a question there. Not yet. Anyone else, press star 2 on your keypad. Otherwise, we're going to say nighty-night, and that's not going to be any fun. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow night. And again, Brother John has been very, very sick. He's feeling better. He told me today he was feeling better, and then when I called him a few hours later for another student conference call, he talked to him for a moment and said, I got to go. I got to go back to bed. So we don't know if he'll be on the call tomorrow night or not. He suffers through this stuff. He soldiers through it. So he may be, and if he is, great. If not, then we'll go and begin the citizenship first chapter of this book, The Greatest Story Never Told. Until then, good night, everyone. Thank you for coming tonight, and be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.